This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. Thank you very much for joining me this week. This is J. Lewis Mills. You have me on the level with J. Lewis Mills. I had a very good week this week, and I hope you all had a very good week this week as well. Today's show is going to be very, very exciting. I'm looking so forward to it. Let's just jump right into it. This week, my guest is Ms. Winterbrook Ryan. She is out of New York. She used to be an attorney, and now she has found herself in the position and in the profession of mediumship. Very interesting situation. I look forward to her telling you more about it. Ms. Winter, thank you very much for joining me. How are you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing great, and I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for the invite, and thank everyone for listening tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, you started off, you started your career as an attorney. What field did you, or what did you do as an attorney as well? How long were you an attorney before finding your new profession, and how did that whole journey go for you?
Well, actually, I should probably add a prequel to my becoming an attorney, just because I think there's a lot of listeners that may resonate with this.
Yes.
As a young child, I did see, hear, and interact with spirit. I just didn't understand I was doing that because they were just there, the same as my mom or my dad or the neighbor. So I didn't understand the concept that they were no longer physically alive or in spirit.
Do you remember how young you were when that happened the first time?
I do not. I mean, I remember being 4 or 5 and sitting in the living room, and basically one of my guides, which I now know it was my guide. Back then it was just my friend. Mm-hmm. And I apparently knew this friend from a time beyond my memories. He was going to do a sleepover. He was a little kid or whatever. And I would say to my mom, can Dodo sleep over? And she'd be like, well, you have to ask his mom. So then there would be a mother there. And I'd be translating. And when I didn't understand, my mom would say, well, what does his mom say? And I would say it. I'm like, but why don't you hear? Because they're sitting right there. But I would have to tell my mother everything they said. And in my mom and dad's mind state, they thought it was an imaginary friend, and that, ta-da, imaginary friend.
Yes.
How many of you that are listening remember having an imaginary friend, or have some child in the family, whether it's your child, a niece, a nephew, grandchild, that seems to talk to imaginary friends? Well, it could be that imaginary friend you can't see or sense in your current state is actually a spirit or a deceased, usually a deceased relative or a guide of the child. And they're just interacting and doing something that's inherently natural, mm-hmm. To our experience. But then what happens, a textbook case, and I'm one of them, is when the kid hits about 6, 7 and we go to school and we start focusing on learning arithmetic and English and using developing that part of our brain, we kind of shut off our intuitive gifts for the most part. Some children don't, but the majority, like myself, do. And then in my case, I completely forgot about it. And growing up, we didn't talk about metaphysical subjects in my home. Not that there was anything against it. It just never came up. So I didn't know anything about it. And then around 2004, 2005, I was already, working as an attorney. I had my own practice in my hometown.
Okay.
A single mom, couple kids, very active with the Rotary Club. And all of a sudden, my ability started to unfold. And it started with the ability of empathy, which is, I would sense or experience, is a better word, the emotions of other people. But not like when you're watching the news and you're seeing like the devastation, right? We're all kind of, I'm teary-eyed watching what's going on in Mexico and Puerto Rico and everything with all the victims. Yeah. A little different. I was sitting on a cruise ship in the Gulf of Mexico with my children on vacation, and I just all of a sudden felt like anger, very upset. And I felt like it was coming from my business partner back on Long Island. But, you know, I couldn't call him because phone calls are expensive on a cruise ship back then.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
So it was 10 days later when I got back. I called him and I said, hey, on such and such a day around this time, did you get really upset? And he's like, what? And then he's like, oh, yeah, I did. Because what had happened was he saw a dog run out of a yard and get hit by a car. And he was very upset, which, you know, anybody would be. Absolutely. So I kind of picked that up, you know, and I had no idea what was going on. So that's an example of empathy.
Okay.
And then, you know, weird stuff happened. So I asked a friend of mine because I didn't know what was going on. And she started to explain it. And I started researching it. I went to the library. I got books. I went online. And eventually I found myself at some spiritualist churches that usually have classes on intuitive development. And that's where I learned about psychic and mediumship. And I kept studying it, and it kept unfolding.
Okay.
So finally, around 2008, I decided that I'd like to give it a go. And I closed my law practice. And I still studied. I went to, you know, studied for another year locally with mediums. And I was going other places like Omega with James von Prague and Tony Stockwell, and et cetera, and getting tutored in it. And then I started working professionally around 2009.
Okay. And how long were you in your practice before you made the decision, not when you closed it, but when did you make the decision, this is possibly a journey I'm going to want to go on, a new journey I'm going to want to go on?
Do you mean how long was I a practicing attorney?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I passed the New York State Bar in 1994, and I set up my own practice in 97. Prior to that, I worked for other people.
Okay.
So it was 2008.
Okay.
My dad passed in October of 2006. My mom was bedridden. I was in the sandwich generation. I was in the young end of the sandwich generation. So I had, you know, a preschooler. I was a single mom because my little one I adopted from Guatemala. And then I had my older daughter who was in middle school. And my mom was bedridden. My dad died in October, and then she died a year later. And I had been studying my mediumship at that point. So once she lived with us, and I knew my children needed more time from me.
Yes.
Because, you know, she was a live-in grandparent. So she kind of helped raise my older one. And then, you know, my little one was just always knew she was around from when I adopted her.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to cut back anyway. And I said, you know what? I think this is a good time. And my abilities were getting stronger. And I felt that I was being encouraged by spirit to pursue this more than just going to a weekly service and giving messages.
Yes.
Being the cautious person, I'm the 5P girl, as I told somebody yesterday. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. And there is a 6P word, but I don't use profanity, so I won't use it. I'll leave it to your imagination.
I got you. Okay.
You know, so I closed my practice in 08, in May of 08. And then I just kept studying. And then about a year later in 09 is when I was doing message work, but I just wasn't charging. Then I decided to go professionally, and I really kicked it up. You know, in 2010, I got my office. And then I started really pushing it around 2012 once my eldest child went off to college, because then it was just me and one child, which is easier.
Yeah.
Trying to do a business and two kids and you're on your own. So,
yeah, that's something I kind of want to get into. There's a lot I want to get into, but I want to speak right now about, you know, the whole dynamic of being a single mother, not only with one child, but with two. So how was it for you to not only juggle your law career as well as being a parent, but then when you're moving into this new journey, how did that whole transition go as far as you being a single parent? And what type of positive advice can you give to other single mothers or even just a single parent to show them or to let them know that they can do it and it is within them to do it?
Oh, absolutely can do. And you know what? If at all possible, reach out for help. My mom helped me with my first daughter.
Yes.
But then she was bedridden. So she had a couple of strokes. So she couldn't really help me so much when I adopted my second one. But it's doable. I did it. And sometimes it's hard because I look at single parents, especially toddlers, you know, you can't take a shower without panicking a little bit. You know, you got to wait till the kid's safely in the crib because they get into things. So it's all these minor little details in life you probably don't think about until, you know, you're standing there like, oh, gee. I would encourage people, though, not to give up hope. Mm-hmm. Try to reach out and meet other moms. That was a big help for me when, you know, other moms would work with me as far as carpooling. Because, you know, when I had the one that she was in high school, there's 7.5 years between my daughters. And then the little younger one, I wanted to put her in bed for mm-hmm. school night, and I can't drag her out to go pick up the other one from a school event. So that would help. But it's definitely doable. I think it's in a way harder than because I hear from married couples that, oh, well, then you got to give and take with the spouse.
Yes.
But at least you have, you know, fallback if you have the two parents there. But for those that are on their own, it is doable. It's the most rewarding journey that I have. In fact, I sit here and I'm like, holding my, I'm just like trying to contemplate if I want to do fostering now because my little one's 15. So,
oh wow,
I love
that's so
kids.
Little anymore, huh?
No, she's not. My other one's 23 and just started med school. So,
oh wow, congratulations to that.
Seriously. Yeah, I've got great kids. Yeah.
Now, as far as your, and you know, there's a lot is coming up for me now, but I want to speak right now on Your daughter that you adopted from Guatemala. I don't mean to get off topic, but your daughter that you adopted from Guatemala, was there a particular reason why you chose Guatemala, and what was it inside of you that compelled you to give a child for lack of better words, a better life from what she most likely would have had growing up in Guatemala?
Well, I love children. Okay. And it's a silly thing, but when I was like, I think I was 19, maybe, mm-hmm. Glamour magazine, you know, it's like,
yes.
Okay. They had an article on the surplus of female Chinese babies because of the one baby law back then.
Yes.
That babies were being left at doorstops and yes. because the parents wanted. That's actually what started it. I decided then and there that, you know, when I grow up, because I was 19, mm-hmm. I was going to adopt one of those female babies that no one wanted.
Wow.
In addition to having children. I just decided, you know, but I also decided in third grade I was going to be a lawyer. So there you go. Anyway, I digress. What happened, though, was when I started, so I got married, it didn't last, and then I became a single parent right off the bat, and when I got myself settled with my mom and we were building a house and I started the adoption, I did look, I wanted to have a medically correctable child on top of it, because at that point I was very involved. I was a director on a Rotary program called Gift of Life, and we brought children here for corrective heart surgeries. Okay. So I felt that if I adopted a child that was, you know, had some type of medical ailment in addition to being in need of a family from, you know, circumstances like that, they'd have a much better chance. But I needed something I could handle as a single mom. So when I started looking into it, the way they did it, the children with the medical issues were severe, like cerebral palsy, or they were quadriplegic, something that I couldn't physically take on as a single parent. So one of my legal clients was actually an immigrant from China. He was a pediatrician. And he had said to me, gee, there's a social worker I work with. When people adopt Chinese infants, talk to her. I talked to her. She just finished an adoption with a lovely woman, but it was out of Guatemala. And she said, you know, you can go to Guatemala. And I said, oh, okay. I said, you know what? It really, I guess, doesn't matter where the child's from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it started out I wanted to do China, but okay. As a child needs a family, that's fine with me. So that's how Guatemala started. And I, you know, it was predestined, because I contacted the attorney, she told me, and they said, oh, well, we only have little boys that are available now. I said, all right, well, I really wanted a little girl. So I'll just fill out the papers and wait. Okay, well, it could be months. I said, that's fine. 2.5 weeks later, they call me, there's a little girl.
Oh, wow, that's a blessing.
I said, oh, okay, I'll take her. They said, well, don't you want to see her picture? I said, no. But I had to go in and see her and take her picture and sign. And 7.5 months later, I was bringing her home. It was one of the quickest adoptions they had seen, because it has to go through two courts down there. At least it does then. I don't know if it's changed. And then all the immigration paperwork for the U.S. So it was, I know it was supposed to, you know, honestly, like, it's a sole contract between my daughter and I. And I just, like, tell people, yeah, she just got herself born in the wrong part of the world. So I had to go get her.
Okay. And what was your daughter's, if you don't mind me asking, what was your daughter's medical ailment, and how is she doing as far as that's concerned?
Well, actually, she was healthy. Because I said to them I would take a medically correctable, or, you know, medically somebody with one blindness or a little deafness, something that, you know, I could handle as a single mom. But she was healthy. And I said, well, I'm not going to turn the child down because she's healthy.
Yes, exactly. But, I get that.
You know, so that's the way things happen. Now, my older one actually just did have heart surgery. So she did have a little issue that we dealt with. But anyway,
she's doing
that was
fine
my,
now, correct?
Yeah, she started medical school. Great. So she's got a good insight on what it's like to be the patient when she becomes the doctor. It's actually the heart surgeries and the work we did with Rotary with the children is what inspired my oldest daughter to want to become a doctor when she was like 7.
Okay. You know, my show was the show that I was on. It was called Heartbeat. And our show was about one of the top, if not the top, female thoracic surgeon in the world. Her name is Dr. Kathy Magliotto. So ever since doing my show, whenever I hear heart surgery, heart disease, whenever I hear heart anything, it automatically piques my interest. So I am very happy that your daughter made it through. And I really do think, you know, they say the Lord works in mysterious ways. So maybe this was just a way for your daughter, as you said, to be able to work off of both sides of the fence. With me being an actor, I find some of the best directors that I work with are directors that were former actors, because they can see both sides of the fence. So I'm sure that this situation with your daughter is only going to make her a better doctor. So, I mean, I'm absolutely rooting for her in her upcoming career as far as being a doctor.
Thank you. And I quite agree with you. I mean, I'm sorry she had to go through it, but the silver lining.
Absolutely. Every dark cloud has a silver lining. Now, let's get back to your mediumship.
Yeah, I was going to say, they probably want to hear about the mediumship, right?
Yeah.
Enough about me.
So can you tell us I know you said you used to do this pro bono, so you can make the decision either your first pro bono or your first professional time that you had a connection Would you mind speaking on that and how that whole situation came about?
Okay, I just want to explain that I do work professionally, so I charge, but I also do some pro bono work. I'm a ordained spiritualist minister, so I run services, and in our spiritualist services, we do message work, and then I do shows like yours, and we take callers. So, yeah, I just want to. It's a call. It's a profession. I treat it as a profession.
Yes.
But it's also a calling, if that makes any sense.
Yes. Yes.
So one of the biggest things that made the impression on me was when I was first on developing. I was still working. I had my practice, and I would meditate. I'd go home and meditate, like around 10 or 10:30, for about a half hour, and then I go back to the office. And during the meditation, I had this face come to me, this person, and I didn't really recognize them, but I kind of knew who they were, but I didn't know how I knew them. And they gave me a quick little message, three little points, and then they were gone. And then my friend that I did know, who passed into spirit, his face came, so I felt much more relaxed. And then another friend I knew who passed into spirit, she came through. And it turned out that the young man that had approached me that I didn't know, after I left to go back to the office, I found out he'd just been killed that morning in a motorcycle accident. And he was the son of one of my neighbors, not that I knew him very well, who was also the chief of the fire department and everything. And it was all over the front page of Newsday, and there I sat with a dilemma. I'm an attorney. Nobody knows I have, I'm opening this ability. I wasn't quite confident in the ability because I was just starting, so I didn't know if I could turn it on at will or turn it off, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
So I didn't know what to do with it, and I was like, maybe I should go tell them, and I just held off because I just said, I don't want to make a situation worse for them. They're grieving. They just lost their son. And that night, one of the girls from the neighborhood came over that my older daughter hung out with. They were teenagers, and she said they talked to the policeman, and he said the three pieces of information that this young man wanted me to give to the parent. So therefore, the information got to them. So I was kind of, validated, but I was relieved. So and then it took me about 4 or 5 months to build up the courage. And then a friend of mine is the undertaker, so I called him, and then he called the other fella to see if he'd be interested in a message. And that's how I, and once I got on the phone with him, the deceased son came right through again, and I was giving him stuff. But I didn't know because I was just opening. And the worst thing I would imagine is approaching a grieving person who just lost someone and saying that you had contact with their, but then you couldn't do it at that moment.
Yes.
Especially because nobody knew I was doing this. I was just starting to learn. Because it wasn't until I felt certain that it was going to develop to a certain level, that's when I closed my law practice. I took it in steps to kind of really go full blast on studying and focusing on developing it to the point where I felt confident enough to, then do the message work.
Okay. Now, with this particular situation that happened, when the undertaker reached out to see if the gentleman would want the messages, when you did get him on the telephone, how receptive to you was he initially, and then how did he respond after you really proved to him that these are messages from, I'm assuming, his son?
Yeah. Oh, he was very, he knew who I was.
Mm-hmm.
This was more that nobody knew I was doing this. he was fine. He was quiet. When his son came through, it was really loud. His son was really loud, and he came through that way. And I would he thanked me at the end. And I see him in town now, and I know he's not the most comfortable with it because I had him come into the office just to look around to make sure I didn't need anything for fire code.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
And he said, no, you're good as long as you have 49 people or less. And I'm like, does that count? Does that include the dead people? And he just gave me a look and he started writing notes. He says, I got to go.
The office, I see.
Well, it's a very small town where I'm from. If you think of, remember Andy Griffin and Mayberry?
Mayberry, yes.
Yeah, that's Northport is a modern day version of Mayberry. So we all know each other.
Okay. Okay. Now, do you ever, I don't necessarily want to take the guy that unfortunately lost his life in an accident, but do you ever connect with, I guess I would call it a spirit, and, you know, while you're there, like, when you're in the situation, you're connecting with that person and you're speaking to someone directly connected to them. Is there ever a time where someone that you have connected with comes back to you and gives you a message for someone that you have either A, already spoken to, or do you ever have connections where someone is trying to get you to seek out a friend or family member to pass a message?
Yeah. Most of my work is usually with the physical person, and then I bring through the decedent. However, anybody I know that passed into spirit, that, you know, they'll harass me, and I mean that in a very loving, kind way.
Okay.
But we had another one recent. I mentioned, I think when I originally met you, I told you about the Ethel Crawley, which I'd be happy to talk about.
Yes.
And then there was another one recently, a friend of mine. He was president of the chamber. I sit on the board of the Chamber of Commerce with him, and he owns a nursery, and I'm right down the road from where I live, and I'm driving somewhere, and all of a sudden I see his grandfather appear right in front of me just as I'm approaching his nursery. Mm-hmm. And there was a young woman with the grandfather who I'd never seen before. And I'd seen the grandfather, and I told this friend, I have your grandfather, Walt, here, in the past. But I just had this overwhelming urge. I wanted to go to the nursery. I wanted to make the left. And I had the grandfather looking at me clairvoyantly. And I'm like, no, I have to go to this other appointment. So I did that, and I just kind of disregarded it. And then that night on Facebook, my friend posted that his sister had been murdered
the
day before in Paris. And then it dawned on me, the grandfather had appeared with a younger woman, which could have been, she was a grown woman, but she was a generation or two younger than the grandfather. So then I put two and two together. So I expressed my condolences, and I left it at that. And he didn't come to the board meeting that week, obviously. He's mourning.
Yes.
So I felt bad because I wanted to give him a hug. And so I was driving to my office, and all of a sudden I was going to go get an egg sandwich. We have two bagel places in town. And I'm like, should I go to this one or that one? And I hear, go to Moe's. And a spirit was telling me I had to go to a particular – I'm like, really? You usually don't tell me where to get an egg sandwich. And they're like, go to Moe's. So I went to Moe's, and when I walked in, there was my friend. He was there putting an order in for his workers. And so I was able to go up and give him a hug and just, kind of let him know that his sister was okay now, was sending her love. So they're, in that respect, they came, they influenced me to be someplace where I'm going to bump into someone.
And you mentioned earlier, you just said that you wanted to give him a hug. Do you ever feel, if you are ever physical with somebody, like you give them a hug or you shake their hand, do you ever get a transference of energy? Or do you, like if you were to shake someone's hand, have you ever found yourself in a situation where when you make that physical contact, someone that they know comes in contact with you to give them a message at that point?
Yes, in two different ways. You asked a question I can answer two different ways for. I don't even need the contact for the spirit to come through.
Okay.
So just so you realize. But if I'm hugging someone, that could – but it's not required. However – what a neat thing is, I'm a developing trance medium,
mm-hmm.
and what I don't do it often, but when
what does
I
that
do,
mean?
trance is a deeper state. When we're doing mental mediumship, which is what most people are familiar with, that's like the Teresa Caputo, the James von Prague. Yes. We get up and we say, hey, I got your grandmother here, blah, 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 blah. That's mental mediumship. It's an altered state, a very light one. Okay. Then when you go into deeper altered states, you're getting more into trance. And then, you know, the extreme is like when you're kind of unconscious. That's full trance. So anyway, when I'm sitting trance, I can sometimes, you know, the spirit comes in, their energy gets very close, right? Some people describe it as they kind of step in. It's not technically correct, but and then I just, they're using my body. They're seeing through my eyes. And then if I'm hugging somebody, they're hugging them. And
I understand.
People have said to me when I've done, I don't do it that often, but I had a mom whose daughter used to come through me a lot. And I invited her, you know, so I could do a trance for her. And when I hugged her, because I went into trance and I walked across to her and I gave her the hug, she just knew it wasn't me. It was the first time she had felt her daughter's energy since the car accident 4 years earlier. And she had gone to see mediums and I'd given her messages from her daughter as a medium. But it was when I was in the trance state and the daughter kind of steps in. So yes, with certain mediums, the spirit can get so close to their energetic field that it's almost like the blending effect. It's really cool, J. Lewis. It really is.
So to help my listeners understand, just to give them some type of a reference point, the trance medium aspect of it, that would be kind of like the medium that Whoopi Goldberg played in Ghost. Is that correct?
Perfect. I was just about to say that. Now, that was a very rough, you know, it was good for the movie, but it wouldn't work exactly like that with a, you know. But if you think of Whoopi Goldberg in that role, perfect.
Can you explain the difference between the, as you just said, the movie translation of it versus the reality? What is the difference in what we saw in Ghost and what is reality and what the experience is with you?
I think in Ghost she was a little dramatic for the dramatic license for the movie to make it enjoyable.
Okay.
You know, the eyes were bulging, things like that.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily happen with a trans medium. They do step in, and the idea is for us to move our consciousness, our awareness to the side and allow them to utilize our, you know, be able to use our voice to speak their message. You know, maybe they're walking around with, use our hands. I have a friend who is a spirit artist in the UK. I actually brought her over to the States last year, and she goes into full trance. They take control of her hands, her guide Leo, and then she draws a picture of the communicating spirit. While their second medium, in my, you know, when we worked together, it was me. I then brought through the communication. So we're both working with the one spirit, but at the end, the person got a message and they got a portrait of their loved one. So that would be an example of a trance, because she's in full trance. She's out of the way. When she comes out of it, she has no idea what she's done.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know, because she stepped her, it's like she goes to sleep is what she tells everyone. And then they just kind of use her hands. She even will draw two communicators at the same time, one with each hand on different pieces of paper.
Wow.
Yeah, that's because she's in trance and spirit's using her. However, I try to be careful, because when I say something like that, there's so much of the horror movies and the, you know, Hollywood type movies that people have all these fears. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're getting possessed and things like, it's nothing like that. This is all controlled. You're working with light. People like me to say working with the light. And, you know, in my case with that mother, I'm stepping aside to allow her daughter to use me So to give mom a hug. And in that case, mom knew. She felt, it was the first time she felt like she felt her daughter's presence. She would go to the cemetery every week, you know, go see mediums. She had messages come through from this young girl. But when I was in the trance state and she, Katie, you know, kind of stepped in, that's when she felt her energy.
Okay. Now, this is a bit of a controversial question, but it's one that I really want to know your opinion on. The reality TV shows that have come out, you know, of the, I think it's the Long Island Medium, and then I forgot what the gentleman's name is. I think it's John something. But with those shows that have come out, or with any film that's done on the supernatural or on mediumship, do you feel that the TV shows and film, do you feel that helps, hurts, or is indifferent to the medium society and the medium world?
I'll do to you what my band teacher used to do to me in high school. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Teresa Caputo for the Long Island. I don't watch TV, so that's the first thing. So I've seen a few of her shows, which I think are hysterical. I love the interaction with her. It was when her daughter was in high school. I was teaching my daughter how to drive the same time she was teaching hers. I think she did a fabulous job in opening the door for more people to feel more comfortable to seek out and find out what mediumship is. She brought it into people's living rooms.
Yes. Okay.
I think that's fabulous.
Okay.
I was very excited because more people felt like it was normal. And then I do a lot of work. I do programs at public libraries, especially around Long Island. And, you know, the libraries will pay me to come and the people can come for free. So I get a lot of people who have never seen a medium in person. And it's a nice experience for them, because they feel comfortable in a library. They don't have to shell out 70 or 100 bucks to go to a big dinner show where they may or may not get a message, or go to some coliseum with, you know, 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. And they get the experience. And a lot of them, it's because they've watched some of the reality TV programs like hers. So I think she did a great job, and I'm very grateful that she did what she did and she's doing. But I don't watch the show that much because I don't watch TV.
Okay.
Alternatively, I think a number of movies and other TV shows do a great disservice when they focus on the fear. You know, there's all kinds of superstitious and fear built in around this subject.
Yes.
I myself was blessed because, remember I said growing up, we just didn't talk about metaphysics.
Yes.
Well, I also was not instilled with any fears. So I don't really have a fear of it. Okay.
Yes.
And a lot of it, because I didn't get those, I wasn't taught those, but there are, you know, there's not a single metaphysical belief system. There are, you know, a variety from every corner in the world. You have, you know, the Jewish people, they have the Kabbalah. The Catholics, they have the, usually it was the priests and all, they knew more about the metaphysics part and like Padre Pio, things like that. I was Presbyterian, so the only time angels showed up was on Christmas. Yeah, sorry. But, you know, so the gypsy belief system, that comes into it. So it's, you know, it depends on where you're looking at. When I started to study it, I studied it with the spiritualists, and they're kind of, they approach it like it's a science. They study mediumship, a philosophy, and a religion. We utilize mediumship in the service. So it's a more grounded approach than some of the other approaches. However, whatever the basis is of the movie. So anything that creates fear around this,
yes,
I highly object to.
Okay. Now this is going to be my very last television question, I promise.
Sure.
And I know that you said you don't watch a lot of TV, so I'll just explain what I'm saying. One of the television shows that I would watch pretty regularly was called Bones. And on one of those episodes, Cyndi Lauper played a medium. And she was meeting with one of the lead characters on the show, in the show, as part of the show. And they were at a fountain. And she just started looking weird. And the one of the actors said to her, what's the problem? And she said, there are people underneath this fountain. And they're trying to speak to me. They're telling me that they're under there. Now, of course, nobody believed her because, you know, that was just the way, I guess, the script was written. But is that a form of mediumship where someone can be walking around, and if someone is buried or if something happened to someone at a particular point, would they get a connection, or was that, would you say, in your professional opinion, was that just television?
Oh, no, that it can work that way.
Okay.
Because first of all, what you have to understand is the physical remains of the spirit might be located under the fountain. The actual spirit's not there. The spirit's coexists with where we're at and their consciousness. So they're communicating with her. Now, their physical remains, you know, they could be there, but that's not them. They're now a spirit. So, yeah, spirits will talk to you. They'll send you visions. Some mediums sense them. You know, like you'll just feel the information, you know, and just kind of know what they're talking about. It sounds strange, but the other thing is mediumship is very individualized. So some mediums will have physiological reactions. I think the Long Island medium, I think she like licks her lip or something, or she did at least. I've seen about 10 of her shows. I haven't seen that many. I don't know how to use the DVR to tape. It comes down to that. And I only watch the news usually. But anyway, so, you know, different media, other ones get very hot. You'll see some mediums start sweating when they're working. It's their physiological reaction.
Okay. So
a lot of new
mediums
get like palpitations.
Palpitations. Okay.
Yeah. That's a lot of people, particularly newbies, I like to call them. They'll get palpitations and they might think they're having a heart attack. It's a quickening them, because when we're connecting with the spirit world, we're quickening our vibration. They're slowing down their vibration so that, you know, the two can meet.
Wow. That's interesting that you say that. And the only reason I say it's interesting that you say that, and I promise you, Winter, I'm telling you the honest truth. I promise you, listeners, I'm telling you the honest to God's truth. For like the last year, every morning when I wake up, my heart is just racing. And I'm constantly, continuously thinking of people that I knew from my childhood, or people that I, you know, had some type of interaction with, but they're no longer here. Do I hear any voices? Is anybody talking to me? No. But it's like for almost an hour, hour and a half, every morning, my heart is just like, I mean, it was so bad. I went to a doctor and paid, I'm not going to say how much I paid, but I paid a lot of money for a lot of tests. And we were almost done with the tests. And the doctor's like, you know what? I'm not even going to finish. Your heart is 100% great. There's nothing wrong. So I asked her, I'm like, so what's up with the palpitations in the morning? And what's up with the fast heart rate? And she just said, I really don't know. So am I trying to tell you that I feel like I'm a medium? No. But what I'm trying to say is, for the last year, my heart has been racing. And when that happens, it's hard for me to concentrate on anything. Television, if I'm trying to learn a script for an audition or for work, no matter what it is, I cannot do anything until my heart rests. Do you have any type of a professional opinion on what that could possibly be?
Okay, first of all, I have to, me personally, there's no like rule book. I don't do any medical mediumship. I know there's mediums out there that will talk about medical conditions. What I can tell you is that many people, particularly newbies, people just opening to mediumship, will feel palpitations when they blend with the energy. They feel a quickening. If you said that you were having, I would definitely encourage you to go see the doctor and rule out anything physical.
Yes.
What you could do is place both, if it's mediumship, okay, place both of your hands over your heart center to shut it off.
Okay.
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 And then you pick a time, whether it's 3 o'clock on Thursday or 10 o'clock on Tuesday, whatever works for you, and then invite them in. Say, okay, I'm going to open now to receive your communication. Spirit will work with you. They don't have time in their world. So one thing you can do, like your doctor ruled things out on their end, try shutting it off when it happens in the morning, and you have an appointment with Spirit, and when you can sit and you're relaxed and you have a cup of tea, and then say, okay, we're gonna open now, please step forward, and then see how you react then, and have a notebook and a pen and see if anything comes to you and jot it down. That would be one suggestion I would make.
And
heart palpitations, it could also be, if you have any stressors, you know, you could maybe have had dreams or something. So, you know, if you want to rule out whether it's strictly from your connecting with the other realm, do it that way. Set an appointment to do it because you can, all right? Most people have some form of intuitive ability, whether it's strictly psychic, where they're picking up the energies or the auras of other people, or if it's going to mediumship where they're connecting with discarnates. That's people that are no longer in the physical body.
Yes.
Okay. They're just maybe passive versus active. Like I was for 30 years, I had no idea I could speak to dead people. I had forgotten I did it as a child. So my abilities were always there, but they were passive. They opened when they were supposed to. So
would it matter for me if this situation only happened, and I'm not trying to add something after the fact. I just didn't say this before, but would it matter if this only happens when I am at home? Like if I go on a trip and I'm sleeping in a hotel or I'm at a friend's place, I'm fine. But this only happens when I'm in my apartment.
Right. That's why I'm saying you might want to try to rule out if it's mediumship, or maybe you're having some stress or anxiety because you're thinking about your everyday life.
Okay.
Because, you know, anxiety can sometimes feel the same way. Like people, they think it's palpitations. They think they have an anxiety attack. It could be the mediumship. Or they could actually be having anxiety because they're thinking about concerns. So you can rule out the mediumship part by closing it down. And if you set the intention, it shall be, and going about your day, and then you have your time that you're going to sit and relax and just invite Spirit in. And you can start with, now is it your grandma that's in spirit?
Grandma's
in spirit, right?
Yes.
Okay, because I know you mentioned you had a close relation with your grandma, and I didn't say it at the time, but when I connect with you, when we've spoken about setting up today, I do get a woman, and I do feel like she's a couple generations older than you. And did she used to wear her hair pulled back?
Not often, but sometimes she did. She would wear her hair back in order. She wore a lot of hats, so she would comb her hair back in order to
pull
put
back
her hat
off
on.
Her face. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That's okay. That's what she was pulled back, and I want to make her small. Was she more of a shorter woman when she was here? 5'3", 5'4"?
How tall was Grammy? No, she wasn't that short. She was probably around 5'5", 5'6", 5'7", maybe.
All right, so I'm a little off on that. The other thing is, just for your listeners to know, this is never 100%. If everyone tells you they get things 100%, you know, just say, uh-huh. Yeah. But so I make mistakes. I always tell people up front. All right. Now, Did she she had a lot of set rules. She was very routined. There was a routine, and you did things a certain way. And if you didn't do them the way she felt you should do them, she would tell you. That was her personality.
Yeah, that's my grandmother.
Yep. And she loved her family, and she would tell people she loved you to the end of the earth.
Yes.
Okay. And she's bringing through a lot of love for you, by the way. Now, she's got a sister with her up in spirit. I'm hearing the word sister, and I'm assuming she's referring to a sister that she has with her.
I think
okay, I'm sorry.
I think you're talking about my Aunt Ida.
Okay. Yeah, this work is very rewarding when I can connect people, but sometimes, you know, there's a lot of emotion that comes up with it. So I would give you a tissue or a hug right now, but I do want to bring Grandma through because there's so much love coming through, a lot of pride, and was your grandma one that she always wanted to see people married?
Yeah. Yeah, she believed in, she believed that you weren't, in the eyes of God, you weren't a real couple unless you were married.
Okay, I don't know if you're married, but I feel like she wants me to tell you to get married. I don't know that much about you, so or that just might be her sharing her personality. I do a lot of personality evidence with them, with the as opposed to the other types. Now, did Grandma have some kind of rheumatoid arthritis?
Yes, she did.
Okay, so she's just sharing, this is what she's doing, she's sharing evidence that I'm sharing with you and your listeners so that you guys can feel comfortable that I am in fact connected with your loved one, okay? That's what all that's about. It's not just, it's just that when we give the evidence, it's just to kind of prove the continuity of life and that we are in fact with the loved one we believe we're with. She is very cooperative, your grandmother, in giving me all that evidence. But, you know, the real reason she's here is she wants you to know she's around you an awful lot. And I think she was the one that influenced me because I never do this. But while we were waiting for the show to begin, Spirit had me pull one of my tarot cards. Now, I'm not a professional tarot card reader, just so you know, and that's why I never do this, but I try to listen to Spirit, and I feel like it was your grandma, because they told me what card to pick, right? And what I picked for you was the Star. And the message for this card for you is, as you emerge from troubled waters, you will find clear signs directing your path. Now is the time to stop focusing on what has happened in the past and look instead to the future. The universe is offering refreshment and a transformation is at hand. All you need to do is reach out and take it. And I was to give you that message. So does that message resonate with you and what's been going on?
Yeah. Yes, it does. I had a dream last night that my grandmother came to me and she said, "Baby, it's going to be all right."
Oh, what validation, because that's what this is, the Star card, and the Star and the message behind that card is all telling you that it is going to be okay. So that's quite a bit of validation, and also you know you are connecting with her then, all right? It's also validating your interaction with her. And I don't know how much studying you have done in metaphysics or the afterlife, but what you probably had was an afterlife visitation with your grandma. It happens quite frequently with people because one thing, when we go to sleep, our minds finally shut up. They shut up enough for the brain to go in the certain wavelengths it needs to for spirit to connect with us. So grandma could be with you at 3:00 in the afternoon, but your mind's all busy. You're doing this, you're doing that, as you should be. So she came when you're in asleep and she's able to connect with you a little bit easier.
Okay.
And I feel that she wants to work with you to develop your own mediumship. It doesn't mean you have to become a medium, don't worry, or you can. But what you can do, and what I always try, I teach a lot of mediumship development classes for people, not only for them to learn to become professional, but also for their own life enhancement. Because what would be better than being able to tune into the other world, your higher guides, or loved ones that you trust for advice on even on everyday matters.
Okay.
So Grandma wants to work with you to develop yours. And so I would encourage you to do that. Set the appointment that you want to, you know, open yourself up to receive communication. Do you meditate?
Yes.
Perfect. And I encourage all of your listeners, if they don't meditate now, please think about incorporating a meditation practice, because it's a win-win. It benefits you physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically. It's free. It's a gold mine, and people aren't tapping into it. But what it also does is, for somebody who is interested in being able to connect to their intuitive nature, their higher self, their loved ones in spirit, the angels, it enables you to start training your mind and quieting your mind so that you can go into that altered state that you need to be in to connect. Remember I mentioned that earlier in the program?
Yes.
And you're reaching that state naturally in your sleep. But what you want to do is try, a lot of people, you're lucky you remembered it. I myself have difficulty remembering my dreams, and a lot of people do as well. So sometimes it's nice if we can learn how to do it in a conscious waking state, as in a meditation, so that we can connect with our loved ones and remember more of the connection.
Okay, you completely caught me off guard with that one. I didn't expect to react like this. I didn't expect that you were going to say that. So I definitely apologize for
don't apologize. That's beautiful. That is a standard reaction. This is, I'm sorry if you feel uncomfortable about it happening over the air, but that is a very natural reaction. It's stemming from love that you hold for your grandmother, and the energy was coming through. I mean, this is one of the reasons that I closed my law practice. My law practice was very successful, and I love practicing law. But being able to connect someone with the loved one on the other side and having them, did it feel healing to you, even, you know, as you got the emotions?
It just feels comforting to hear that my grandmother is with me. I absolutely don't mean to turn this into a sympathy case.
But no, Jay Lewis, it's not a sympathy. If anything, you're showing your audience. I mean, this is why I do what I do. This is why I close my practice, and I'm pursuing this as a profession to help people, to connect them. Because for me, being able to connect with my parents after they passed away was a whole new ball game than previously when I lost loved ones and I just didn't know. I mean, they were supposed to be in heaven and I couldn't connect with them. They were just gone out of my presence. And it was such an incredible transformation for me that I wanted to share it with others. And a lot of mediums feel the same way as me, and that's why we do what we do, so that we can share the gift with you, and hopefully you'll go from here and develop your own and then share it with others. I mean, that's what it's all about.
My grandmother was the only person. I mean, when I say only, I mean my grandmother was the only person that told me, before I even thought about, you know, getting into acting seriously, my grandmother is the only person that ever told me that I could make it as an actor. And my grandmother is the one person that I was very sad she didn't get a chance to see my television show. So this is really affecting me beyond belief, because...
But silly boy, just because Grandma passed out of the physical body does not mean she hasn't been around. She has, in fact, witnessed all your accomplishments. And did you stub your toe? For some reason, I'm getting a visual of you stubbing your toe recently.
That's fucking scary. Yes, I did.
Because that's what Grandma, she just wants to prove. I don't mean to scare you, but Grandma just wants you to know she is, in fact, aware. She's keeping tabs on what's going on with the family. All right? She knows what's going on. She's rooting for you, and, you know, she's seen it. So don't feel any regret that she hasn't seen your accomplishments. And she's going to see even more accomplishments because you're going to achieve more as you go on.
Okay.
She loves you very, very much. She hasn't left your baby. That's what I'm hearing. I haven't left your baby.
Okay. Can you just tell the story of Miss Crowley for a little bit, please, just to fill the time?
Oh, sure. We talked briefly last night, and I was recounting a story about one of my clients. It was one of my legal clients who was, I was fond of her, she was fond of me. And this was just when I was starting to study mediumship, but I hadn't really made the decision to close my practice. And Mrs. Crowley passed away. And the day after the cremation, the family was coming to sit down with me to go over the will and what had to be done, because three of the children had to leave to go back home out of state. So I'm sitting at the table going over the will with them and explaining what would have to be done with the probate. And in walks Ethel Crowley. And I had to bite my tongue because there I was being the lawyer. Nobody knew I could see the dead. And she walks in, and in her characteristic wise, cracking way, she says, "I changed my mind." And I just kind of had to keep my mouth shut and telepathically send her a thing. "Well, it's too late now. You can't sign a new will." But she was really teasing. I mean, you know, the will divided everything in equal parts anyway. But it was at that moment, because I really couldn't say anything to the children because they were there to see me in the capacity of an attorney. Now, as wonderful as I think mediumship is, not everyone believes in mediumship or wants anything to do with mediumship, and I respect that. So I really wasn't in a position to say to these folks, "Your mom's sitting right next to me and she's talking to me." But after that, I said, "All right, I'm going to have to do something. If my dead client," because I was a will attorney, so I did a lot of probate. So I said, "I can't have my dead clients coming in." And I decided at that point, it's clear enough, I'm going to pursue it as a profession. So I closed my practice. Well, a year or two later was when I got my new office. I moved out of my home as far as doing the work. And my daughter needed another pair of eyeglasses. She needed, it was like the fourth pair in a year. We got a puppy. That explains it.
Yeah.
And I picked up her glasses, and I've gone to the same eye doctor for 15 years. I walk out of get into my car, and I hear a voice say, "Go back in and put your business cards." I'm like, "What?" They said, "Go back in and put your business cards there." So I listened to Spirit, and I went back in, and I said, "Gee, I've never asked this." And, you know, he didn't have anything set up for other business cards like, you know, some offices do. But I said, "Would it be okay if I left some of my business cards here?" And they said, "Oh, sure," because, again, I'd been, you know, a patient for 15 years. My whole family went there for eyeglasses. So I did, and I left. Well, the next day, her daughter, and I hadn't seen them in a couple of years, went to the same eyeglass place, and it was her birthday, and she was really glum because she was missing her mom. It had only been a year or two. And she saw my business cards, and she got all excited because she knew I'd closed my practice, but I hadn't really notified people, you know, when I opened up the new practice. And she comes racing down to the office and comes in. She goes, "Oh, my God, I found you." And I looked at her, and then I see Ethel Crowley, and I'm like, "Yeah, it was your mom that made me put my cards in at the eye doctor, and she just wanted you to come down here so I could tell you she wishes you a happy birthday." And it made her night. I mean, she then made an appointment to come back at a later time for a full reading. But, you know, I would have never left my business cards. I never had before, but Ethel was around. And, you know, it's one of the ways Spirit will influence to coordinate a meeting so they can get a message through.
Winter, I can't I really can't begin to thank you enough for coming on my show and sharing with my listeners and also sharing with me. I feel like I'm indebted to you forever now, just for the words that you gave to me. In closing our conversation tonight, do you have any closing words, any words to leave my listeners with?
Only that I wish all the best for everyone. I'm grateful that you had me on and you listened to me. If you want to get a hold of me, I do readings by phone. And as soon as I can get the webcam figured out by Skype again, I'm having a little trouble with my one monitor. But I do phone readings and also in person. And if you want to contact me, I have a website. It's www.winterbrookmedium.com, and I think you have that on my description, right?
Yes, and any links, anything that you want me to put on my page for you, I will absolutely do. So after we're done, I will give you the email address. You just send whatever you want to the listeners to know, and I will make sure that it gets put up in the archive on the same page that our show is going to be on.
Perfect. So if you want to get a hold of me, you know, I can do just like I did with you. I brought grandma through. So this is an audio, a phone thing. I can do that with clients. And if you're on Long Island and you're listening, I also have a calendar of different venues that I'm at. I do a lot of public libraries, again, because it enables people to come without charge to experience and get some messages and give them some insight as to what it's all about. And, I want to see those messages come through. I want to see hearts touched, and we're all one.
Well, again, I thank you very much. And, you know, just to my listeners, you all know that I'm an actor, okay? That's what I do as a profession. But this telephone call, I swear to you, I am not acting. This woman sincerely affected me because she knew things about my grandmother that nobody knew. As Winter said, I've never met her before. I've never spoken to her. I've never been in the same room with Winter. So I just really want you, and you, and anyone that knows me knows, I for damn sure don't cry that often. I'm not that kind of an emotional person. So I just invite you, whether it's Winter, no matter who it is, I invite you to have an experience like this, because I can honestly say that this show is a life-changing situation for me. It's a life-changing situation to me, not in a negative sense of the, not in a negative context, but in an absolutely positive way. And with that, because it's hard for me to talk, I really hope you all have a good week. We'll be back next week. Have a good week. And, yeah, we're out. Thank you. Thank you. Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.